had a great lunch today.
Amen.
The head of the youth department and his wife took us out for lunch. Since I do not remember the name, I'm just going to call them. The young couple took us out for lunch today. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. Sometime I have a habit walking around in a congregation where I don't know anybody and telling people, I'm only speaking to the young people here. Would you like to be included?
Amen.
And most people kind of get a thrill out of that. I used to do a lot of youth revivals, but for some reason they don't call me anymore. The youth revivals. I had a friend out in Texas who has already gone home to be with the Lord. And for many years I went and did what I called my youth revival with him. Every member of his congregation was 65 and over. Sometime we'd have a few grandchildren filter in. But I called that my youth revival for many years. But my friend, Brother Charlie Jones, eventually passed away at the young age of 93. So I no longer go to Texas for that meeting. But it is a joy to be with you. And regardless of age, hopefully you'll find something that will be of encouragement in tonight's service.
Amen.
I'd like for you to open your Bible to the second chapter of the Gospel according to John. If you do not have your marker at this chapter, it might save you a little trouble. Just kind of put the marker in your Bible at this chapter. I like simple things. How many of you like simple things? I still favor switches that read on and off. I still favor that. I hardly ever get mixed up with one of those.
Amen.
On, off. I like to talk about things in simple terms. In and out. Up, down. Right, wrong. Heaven, hell. I like to talk about things in simple terms. Give you a little brain tease. Can you recall any time that the Lord ever spoke and gave three options on anything? This, this, or this. He talked about a broad way and a narrow way, didn't he? He talked about people who were in the dark and people who were walking in the light. He talked about people who were saved and he talked about people who were unsaved. The Lord wasn't the kind of person to confuse people. He brought clarity to everything, certainty to everything. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to be clear. We need to be certain. So you can think about that particular question as time would permit. I'm going to read one verse tonight, and this is my focus verse. One verse from John chapter 2. I am going to read a couple of other verses But they are not my focus text. John chapter 2, verse 5. This is our focus text tonight. His mother. Now let's clarify. To whom does his refer? All right. And what is his mother's name? Okay. Now it might seem a little odd to you, but he never called her by her name. So, just for clarity's sake, Jesus' mother, who was Mary, saith unto the servants, now here's the focus, whatsoever he, that is Jesus, saith unto you, do it. Amen. Now, I would like to draw now from our Old Testament one verse of Scripture and a second verse from the New Testament. These texts are what I call foundational. This is a focus text. But let's see about foundational text. Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis, chapter 41. I'd like to read verse 55. Now, while you're turning, I will give some context to this verse. This verse is in the time frame of the years that Joseph was in Egypt, having been sold by his brothers. Genesis 41, verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Foundational text. A text from another part of Scripture that lays foundation for what is said in the focus text tonight. You know your Bible, and you know oftentimes coming events are foreshadowed. Joseph is one of the most perfect illustrations, or as the old time preacher would say, one of the most perfect types of another who would come, whose name we know as Jesus. And here the conditions are the same. They have no bread. All of Egypt is famished. And the people cry unto Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh gives the same advice to his people as Mary gave to the wedding party. Go to Joseph. Take it to Joseph. And what he saith to you, do. All right, let's go back to our New Testament, to the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. The 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I think I'm at the right text. If I am not, you give me a little time and I will be there. The 15th chapter of the Gospel of John and the 14th verse. This again is a foundational text. And who is the speaker? The Lord Jesus is the speaker. Ye are my friends. Notice your first class conditional sentence. What is it that qualifies one to claim friendship with Jesus? Ye are my friends if ye do some things. A few things. Whatsoever I command you. Foundational text. Now let's come back to the focus text for the evening. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now I want to develop three main ideas from this focused text. I want to spend some time talking about what was demanded of Mary that enabled her to give this advice. What did this advice demand of Mary? Second, what is declared about Jesus in this particular statement? And finally, I want to talk about what this statement is intended to develop in me and you as a believer. So we have three thoughts. What was demanded of Mary? What was declared of Christ? And what is to be developed in we who are believers? Now let's start by talking about what this demanded of Mary. Now there are several things that are involved in the demands that it was that it made of her. The normal situation in a home and the biblical situation in the instructions that we are given concerning the home is that the father is to be the head of the home. Generally speaking, the wife is to be the heart of the home. And children are to be helpers in the home. That's the basic structure of the home. When you read in your Bible of the occasion when the Lord accompanied Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem, and he was left behind, they traveled many days, only later to return and to find him in the temple talking, answering questions of those who would ask him. And the Bible plainly says, following that occasion, Christ was subject unto them. To be subject unto them meant he had complete allegiance to them, complete obedience to them. He was at their instruction and their beck and call. But on this particular occasion, the person who in the structure of the home, who normally would have authority over a child. And we know that Christ is no longer a child at this point, in the sense of age, but he is still in relationship with Joseph and with Mary, but the roles are reversed by her willingly submitting now to him. How many of you would recognize that? The problem, they have no wine, was first presented to her. She deferred to give an answer or to try to do anything about it. I think there's a reason she deferred, and a reason why she didn't try to do anything about it. And the big reason is this: she knows that she is inferior to Jesus. She is inferior to Jesus. By giving this instruction, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, she is automatically saying to the crowd at the celebration, he is superior to me. I'm getting my orders from him. You take your orders from him. And I am placing this problem in his court. And whatever he says to you, you do it. I, as most preachers like to do, am going to give several things for you to think about in regard to Mary's inferiority to Christ. First, there is an inferiority in pedigree. An inferiority in pedigree. It is assumed by some bodies of religious people. Is that nice enough? It is assumed by some bodies of religious people that Mary was sinless. We, as Baptist Bible-believing people, reject that idea. The so-called doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary is a pipe dream. It is not true. You see, some people like to have the idea that Mary was a special, above normal person, whereas the Bible depicts her as an ordinary person that God used in an extraordinary way. Now, there's a vast difference in those two ideas. Even some people in our churches have the idea, God uses people because they're extraordinary. Oh no, God uses ordinary people who will yield themselves to Him, submit themselves to Him, and with ordinary people, He does do extraordinary things at times. You may have had the idea, oh, I'd like for God to use me. There's only one reason that He wouldn't. Put your life where He can get His hands on it. And He will. God uses people primarily who are available. Mary was available. After the angel announced to her God's plans for her life, her response was simply this: "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. I'm in your hands. Whatever is your wish has become mine." We do not believe in the idea of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. We do, however, believe in the teaching of the Word of God concerning the Immaculate Conception of the Son of God. Amen. You say, what does that word immaculate mean? It means without flaw or fault or blemish. Now, I'm going to do what Mary did in this sense. I am going to defer to your pastor. I did that a lot this morning, and I will a lot this week. I'm going to defer to your pastor, and I will want him to explain to you in detail. And I want a copy of the paper. But I want him to explain to you and to me in detail, how is it that Christ was immaculately conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary? Mom always said to me, "Son, don't get in deep water. You'll drown." So I keep that in mind. I know when I'm close. I'm kind of close right now. So I'm backing away. I am prepared to tell you there was not the slightest possibility that any contamination, any fault, any sinfulness, any impurity, anything whatsoever that would have disqualified the Lamb of God, there is no possibility that that impurity would pass from Mary to the Son of God. I'm here to tell you the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill was incorruptible blood from an incorruptible body. And the only way he could have ever died was to choose to do so. And in doing so, his blood has become redemption and atonement for you and I that have believed in him through the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We are not redeemed with corruptible things. So I'm leaving it up to you to think about Mary's role in the incarnation. Give you two words. Was she a contributor in any way, or only a carrier? You think it over. Now, I want to go a little further. Not only is Mary inferior in her pedigree, she was born of sinful parents, received their sinful nature, but I got news for you. In Jesus Christ is no sin.
Amen.
Either in nature or in deed.
Amen.
If there was any sin, anyway, in him, he cannot be qualified to be the Savior.
Amen.
He must be without spot. He must be without blemish. So I say this wholeheartedly and absolutely. He is like us, but he is not like us. He became one among us, but he is far above us. Okay? Mary is not only inferior in pedigree, she is inferior in power. She has faced the wall of human limitations. How many parents do I have in the room tonight? If you're a parent, raise it. All right. How many of us have ever come to the wall of limitations when it comes to our children? Children are wonderful. Somebody asked me one time, said, what is the scariest thing that's ever happened to you in your adult life? And without two thoughts, I said, the day our children were born. Well, what's scary about children being born? Because you know they're going to be like you. Nod your head this way. That's why it's so scary. You know what you thought. You know how you've acted. You know what you're capable of. And you know if this child is your child.
Amen.
You know you've got reason to buckle up. Kind of scary. But now, Mary is inferior in power. She's reached the point of limitation. But let me give you something good. Though she is confronted with a situation she can't handle, she knows somebody she can take it to. I grew up going to a little white plank church building on a red dirt road. Anybody in here know what red dirt is? That's what the name Adam literally means. It means red man. God came somewhere on the hills of Mississippi to get that dirt. Red dirt. And two things I can tell you about it. If you'll stick with it when it's dry, it'll definitely stick to you while it's wet. But anyway, I grew up going to a little white plank church building set at a crossroads, and believe it not, the name of the church was Crossroads Baptist Church. You know what we'd sing sometime? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Mary has faced something she can't handle, but thankfully she knows someone who can. She's inferior in pedigree. She's inferior in power. I am amazed at the powers that have been ascribed to Mary by the religious world. Right. Once in a while, the news will say, oh, look at this. Look at the shadow in this window. Do you see Mary in the shadow of this window? And thousands of people have traveled thousands of miles just to get in the shadow of what they think is Mary in a window. Why do that?
Amen.
You can bow your heart and go to somebody that can really do something about whatever it is you need done. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
I did read this in the Bible. Jesus came and spake unto them in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me.
Amen.
In heaven and in earth. He did not say, all power is given unto me and my mother. All power is given to me. Let me say that there is not only the limitation and the inferiority in pedigree, the inferiority in power, but also the inferiority in position. The idea of Mary's perpetual virginity and bodily assumption into heaven is absolutely false. She has no role as an intercessor with Christ. No, in the minds of the religious world, she is thought to be equal in position and power to the Son of God. But I want to tell you what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:5. And I'm not fixing to go political on you, but I am going to say this. Though I would have preferred, and though I do preach from a different translation of the Bible, I was encouraged at the recent inauguration to hear this verse of Scripture read. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you think about the president, that's up to you. Whatever you think about politics, that's up to you. I'm just rejoicing in the fact that I heard more of the Bible this time round than I've heard in many, many years.
Amen.
So I say to you tonight, in order for Mary to give this advice, she must submit herself to Him. And in giving this advice, she is saying, I am the inferior. You've brought your problem to the wrong person. He is the superior. Now you take it to Him.
Amen.
And He can handle it.
Amen.
Now, let's move to my second thought. Not only what does this demand of Mary, But what does this text declare concerning Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, it declares that she has confidence in his capacity. Now you do know that the word confidence is a synonym for the word faith. Faith. Now I'm coming on the question. Upon what evidence does her faith rest? In essence, she is saying, I can't. I have confidence he can. So much confidence, I've turned it over to him. Upon what does her faith rest? Now you will concede the point that she does have some inside information. She does know more about Jesus than anybody else at this wedding. She does. She knows more about him than anybody else at this wedding. You say, well, has he ever done a miracle before? Is that where faith gets evidence? No, sir. According to this text, what he will do subsequent to her instruction is the beginning of miracles for Jesus. Amen. So you can throw your mythology out the window. Amen. If you're Bible believers, and I think you are, you have to concede this beginning of miracles did Jesus. This is miracle number one.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, said, do you believe in the pre-Adamite human race? I said, why, no. They said, well, why don't you? I said, I believe the Bible.
Amen.
I read in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:45, I believe, where the Bible said, the first man, Adam. I did go to the first grade. I learned the basics of mathematics. You know what it is? Numbers 1 to 9 and 0.
Yep.
And there is no number before number 1. So if Adam is the first man, I take that to mean he's number 1.
Amen.
Well, don't that eliminate a lot of research?
Amen.
Read the Bible. Take it at face value. When common sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Amen. Now listen. First man, Adam. She said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. He's got the capacity. Where did she get that confidence that he had the capacity? I want to tell you where she got it. She got it from God.
Amen.
According to the Bible, faith is a gift from God. Faith is a working of God in the soul of a man. You know, the hardest people in the world to win to God are people that are biblically literate. The easiest people to win to God are people that don't know John 3:16 from an algebra equation. Easiest people in the world. You say, why? They don't have a lot of things they've misunderstood to be cleared out of the way.
That's right.
May I say to you, Mary got her faith the same place you'll get yours. It's a gift from God. She has confidence. But not only does she have confidence, it's pretty clear that she accepts His correction concerning His calendar. Did you notice that? Mary said, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." You're looking too far ahead on the calendar. Get your calendar straightened out, Mama.
Amen.
She didn't bristle at that at all. She just accepted that little correction. I'll preach on that one night. So, what this instruction declares about Jesus Christ is simply this: He is God with us. That's who He is. God with us. All right, let me go to my final point. You see, I'm going to have to teach you people how to respond to my preaching. When I say that, that's your cue to shout. Baptists love it when the preacher says, "Now for my final point." They like that. That gives them hope. We've looked at what it demanded of Mary, what it declares about Jesus Christ. I want to talk now in conclusion of what this instruction is intended to develop in us, in believers. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. As you expect, I have three thoughts. Number one, it is intended to develop in us a commitment to Christ that is unconditional.
Amen.
Whatsoever is a rather large word. It is a rather broad term. Whatsoever I wonder what kind of revival we would have if every person here this evening made an unconditional commitment. It's not, "Lord, I will if." That's not unconditional. The kind of commitment needed and this text demands is, "Lord, whatsoever." Doesn't matter what. I'm yours, you're mine. Is settled. It's your business to tell me what. My business to obey.
Amen.
Mr. Finney, one of the revivalists of days gone by, regardless of what we may think of him in several ways, said this: "Revival is a place of fresh obedience for God's people toward Him."
Amen.
A commitment that is unconditional. That's what it's intended to develop. Not only that, the text talks to us about a call that is unmistakable. A call that is unmistakable. I love this. Whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
Many voices are calling. Many voices are calling. I ask you the question tonight. Are you in such a state as a believer of commitment that you can hear His voice above the noise?
Amen.
A call that is unmistakable. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me."
Amen.
Have you heard His voice? A call that is unmistakable. And there is a contribution that will not be unrewarded. Great things will be accomplished in the life of the believer who will simply take the instruction, whatsoever he saith. Do it.
Amen.
A blind man was met by the Lord Jesus, given simple instructions. Go wash. He came back seeing.
Amen.
When? He just did what Jesus said do.
That's
all. A certain disciple named Simon Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. And he was washing his nets. Luke chapter 5. I don't know if you understand it or not. But the next step after washing your nets is hang it up. You may have been fishing, but catching nothing. And you're so weary. You're washing your nets and you're right on the edge of hanging it up and saying, I can't catch fish anymore. I failed at what I know to do the best. And you're right on the edge of hanging it up. I want to ask you something. Would you be willing to just do what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? He said, Peter, son, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Simon Peter made somewhat of a confession and a commitment in the same sentence. Lord, we have toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word,
amen,
I will launch out. I can still hear the voice of Dr. Seitler when he preached that message. His voice, if any of you heard him preach, you know his voice. Nevertheless, at thy word. And what happened? That commitment did not go unrewarded. Here at this wedding, the servants were instructed, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the evidence is, they did it. And here's the story. This is the best it's ever been.
Praise God.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
I read about a fella laying in the graveyard, been there for 4 days. And only one that could speak from one world to the next walked up to the opening of that grave and said, take away the stone.
Amen.
And he would not have had to do that. But he did. Take away the stone. And they resisted, said, oh no, too late for that. Too late for that. Hey, I'll tell you, it's never too late for Jesus.
Amen.
And he, standing in this world, spoke to he who was in the grave in another world. And this is what he said to Lazarus, come forth. I'm telling you, it's not always what is said. A lot of times it's who said what said.
Amen.
I wonder what will happen if you and I just do what Jesus said. I'll close with this illustration. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told his signal man to send a message. The message was this: alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received: alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered because his command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. The message was, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. And soon he received another message back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear that it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. In the midst of dark and foggy times, all sorts of voices are shouting orders into the night, telling us what to do, how to adjust our lives. Out of the darkness, one voice, only one voice, sounds quite opposite to the rest. That voice happens to be the voice of the light of the world.
Amen.
And if we ignore it, and when we ignore it, we do so to our peril. This is good advice.
Amen.
Father, we are yours. You are ours. It's our desire to do as you wish and to find sheer delight in the doing of it. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.